So when somebody says, should I buy gold? It's really, so what's your motivation to buy gold? Once you have the motivation, then you can determine what vehicle is best for them to use to achieve their ends. And then it's a question of, well, do you want to pay this price or do you think the price is going lower or higher? And, you know, that's where the analysts and the newsletter writers and that give their opinions, and individuals can make their own decision as to whether or not it's the right or wrong time to buy gold.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Anne Nelson, your host for today's show. And today we have another interesting guest, and it's all about understanding precious metals and why they could play an important part in your portfolio diversification. And to explain how precious metals could fit in, I have Peter Hugg coming online. Peter is the Director of Global Trade for Kitco Metals Inc. And Peter has been involved in the precious metals industry since 1974. He speaks to thousands of viewers each week on Kitco News, drawing on years of frontline experience to provide a trader's perspective on the market. Peter Hugg contributes daily commentary and market insights for the millions of readers visiting kitco.com each month. He is a frequent speaker at precious metal conferences and in the financial media.
Hi, how are you, Peter?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you, Anne?
Good, thanks. And just to explain, where are you?
Kitco Metals Inc. is located in Montreal, Canada.
All right. And how long have you been with them and your background in metals?
I've been in the metals business since approximately 1973. I was the head trader of a bank's precious metals trading desk through the 70s and most of the 80s. Then I joined Kitco in 2010. The company had grown from 7 employees to well over 220, and the owner of the company asked me if I could help with the operations side of the business. So I joined Kitco in February of 2010.
Right, and gold seems to be on the rise now. So for those that are following, is this a good time to be buying?
It's a difficult question to, when somebody asks me, and they've asked me that question ever since I've been in the business since the 70s, you know, should I buy gold? It really comes down to what the motivation is behind your reasoning to buy gold. And what we've done over the past few years, and it's been consistent with my experience in the metals market back in the 70s and 80s as well, it seems that investors sort of fall into basically four categories. And within these categories, each investor makes a decision that best suits their motivation for buying gold. So, you know, it's just, you know, on a broad strokes type of basis, we sort of look at four groups. And here I'm speaking specifically of the North American market. You know, one group, you know, it's difficult to, you know, to put a name on the group, but, you know, we've come up with the name Fatalist. And these are investors that are highly influenced by newsletter writers and analysts that believe the current financial system in the United States and Canada is on the brink of collapse, that the governments are just printing money, and eventually they'll pass regulations which will bar the ownership of gold and create a situation where the value of currencies will depreciate considerably. And they will need gold then when the financial system implodes for survival and for the impending barter system. Now, this class might sound like it's fringe, but it's not. It's basically a mainstay group in North America, and they tend to buy physical metal. They really aren't that price sensitive. They're not looking for a capital gain. They're looking to hold a portion of their metal at home. They don't trust institutions to store it for them, nor do they trust the exchanges to hold it for them. So they almost always take delivery at their home, and then they store it accordingly. And again, they tend to buy small fractional size gold bars and small coins, again, because they believe that the value of the metal is going to explode exponentially when the financial system collapses. So they need small units to barter with. The second group, which is probably the biggest group that influences the physical market in North America, is a group that we call the conservative investor. And that's the investor that wants to hold a portion of their gold, you know, whether it's 5 or 10 or 15% of their total portfolio in gold. And they are somewhat sensitive to the price, but they see this as an insurance position. And if the world is perfect and everything goes along well, then they may not make a lot of money on their 10% insurance position, but the other 90% of their portfolio will do well. This group, again, will buy physical, but they are also not concerned about ETFs or mining shares. They just want a portion of their assets denominated in gold. The third group, which accounts for most of the volume that you see on the exchanges, are the traders. And traders have no particular loyalty to the metal. They could be bearish at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they can be bullish at 9:01 in the morning. They're basically looking to trade trends and technical support and resistance lines with the main objective to make capital gains. Traders are looking for the most inexpensive way to buy gold, usually look for leverage. So they'll be, most of the traders will play on the futures market or the options market. Some will get into ETFs, but most will trade on the leveraged markets that are offered on the futures exchanges in New York and Chicago. The fourth group, which we class as an investor, it's not really an investment, are individuals that buy collectible medallions and coins that are made by sovereign mints and private mints around the world. And they're usually theme represented. Currently, there's a couple of Star Wars coins out. So people that are Star Wars zealots, they tend to buy these coins as part of their collection. Not advisable to buy these types of products if you're looking for an investment. They're more something you might like, you want to hand to your grandchildren or just as a gift, but it is the most inappropriate way to buy precious metals because the premiums on these collectibles are generally extremely high relative to the metal content in the actual coin or medallion. So those are the four groups. So when somebody says, should I buy gold, it's really, so what's your motivation to buy gold? Once you have the motivation, then you can determine what vehicle is best for them to use to achieve their ends. And then it's a question of, well, do you want to pay this price or do you think the price is going lower or higher? And, you know, that's where the analysts and the newsletter writers and that give their opinions, and individuals can make their own decision as to whether or not it's the right or wrong time to buy gold.
Do you think investors are treating gold as an asset class? I've heard it described as the fourth asset class. So it's not like a business, it's not real estate, and it's not stocks and bonds. Is that why investors should be looking at having some of their portfolios in gold, as it is completely unrelated?
Well, you know, gold is not something that's magical. You know, sometimes it's good to buy gold, the price is right, and sometimes it's not such a good time to buy it. I know that sounds kind of, you know, it's just sort of flashy, but really what people hold gold for is when there is uncertainty in the market, or when there is inflation, or when there is a potential geopolitical issue such as North Korea. Gold tends to hold its value and appreciate in times such as those. I mean, the perfect example is 2008 when the financial crisis hit. Gold moved from $600 up to $1,900 an ounce. And then as the financial crisis subsided, gold has been coming down. Now, recently, gold has been going higher because although they passed the tax legislation in the United States, there is still some serious doubt whether the U.S. administration is going to be able to enact any meaningful legislation in 2018. And there is strong suspicion that inflation in the United States is accelerating. And the Federal Reserve tries to quash higher inflation by raising rates. But there is a feeling that the Federal Reserve may not be as aggressive on interest rate increases in 2018 because with the stock market at record highs, it could damage the economy and hurt the stock market. And the Fed doesn't want to be involved with bringing the stock market down. So in an environment in North America where you have likely not an aggressive Fed policy hike in interest rates, the exact opposite seems to be forming in the European theater where the economies are starting to accelerate and there is more and more talk that the European Bank, the ECB, will start to tighten monetary policy. Now, when that happens, you have weakness in the U.S. dollar. And any commodity that's priced in U.S. dollar tends to go higher. So the perception is that the U.S. dollar will remain under pressure. And the economic la-la land right now, which is the U.S. stock market, may run into some trouble a little bit down the road if the Fed raises rates even one or two more times. And that's causing some capital allocation into gold as a hedge in case the balance of the portfolio runs into trouble.
Do you find that investors that own precious metals always have precious metals in their portfolio?
I think that's changing. So my parents' generation are probably not in the market anymore, or most of them are probably deceased. My generation, which is the sort of the 50 to 65 generation, the baby boom generation, 50 to 70 generation, baby boom generation, will buy gold selectively depending on what's happening in the market. We haven't been around for the Great Depression in the 30s, and we haven't been around for any of the significant wars. So our risk appetite, our fear levels are considerably lower than that of our parents. So we will buy gold, but we tend to buy gold more from the perspective of not so much protection, but more from the perspective of it's a good investment from a capital gains perspective. But as the baby boomer generation ages, and that's happening daily, and more baby boomers are retiring, you've got the millennials coming in behind, and the millennials have absolutely no fear. They were basically too young to witness the 2008 crash. So they're looking for sexy investments, i.e. things like Bitcoin or, the next startup in Silicon Valley, Facebook types of investments. And in North America now, the big fad is marijuana stocks because it's all been legalized. So they're in for those types of investments and are not as committed to the gold market as either my generation or my parents' generation because they haven't felt the pain of being on the wrong side of a portfolio investments. Since 2008, if you have a millennial that's 30 years old, he came out of school at 2022, he missed the downturn in 2008. He didn't get hurt. He didn't have money in the stock market. But now he's 30. So if he's fully invested in the stock market and it drops 40%, I think he's going to have a different outlook and a different respect for gold. But it's going to require that type of an event to get the millennials more engaged in the metals market.
Before we go on to talk about buying, how to buy gold, how much do investors pay attention to the tax laws of their land? I know in Australia, coins are collectibles and attract a higher tax rate than investing in other forms of precious metals like bars. Does this come into play with investors?
That's true. But again, the market is so global now, you can trade with dealers anywhere globally. And you have a number of options. Some dealers will actually deliver to Australia the bullion product, but other dealers, and I mean, a lot of jurisdictions do it this way. Other dealers offer what's called segregated safekeeping accounts where the storage is relatively incidental. And an Australian client could buy gold and have it stored either in Canada or the United States or in Hong Kong for that matter. And then when they look to liquidate the investment, at least they have some liquidity because the metal is with a dealer. They don't have to worry about, you know, shipping it out again when they want to sell it. So it's a relatively inexpensive way to hold physical gold, and you also obtain a geographical diversification by doing that.
Is that important, having a geographical?
Again, it depends on your mindset. If you are concerned that, you know, policies in your home country are going to be in such a situation where you want some of your assets held abroad, be they stock or, you know, be they gold or, you know, it could be a number of investments, could be real estate. You could have a house in another country. You're diversifying some of your assets outside of your country of origin in case, you know, there is a requirement that, you know, you might need to leave your country or you want to leave your country. Again, that's more of an extreme example, but that would be one of the reasons you want some geographical diversification in your portfolio as a whole.
Yeah.
If you're not concerned about any of that, then it comes down to why are you buying? What's the psychology behind it? And, you know, if you fall into the conservative investor or slash trader category, then you're going to be looking for something that trades relatively close to the gold price, so you're not paying a high premium. And there are numerous dealers, including in Australia, that are reputable dealers that make a market for both the buying and selling of physical product.
How easy is it to buy gold and precious metals?
Very easy. Extremely simple. I mean, most dealers have online capability where you can go online. And again, either have the product delivered to your house or have the dealer store the product for you. And it's literally just a matter of opening an account, wiring in your funds, and then making the purchase on the appropriate product that you're looking to buy. And then determining whether you want that product delivered to you or whether you want the dealer to store it for you.
All right. Is it easier for us to buy the product, the precious metal itself, or would we be better off just owning an ETF like a gold ETF?
Personally, and if you are not concerned about the liquidity of the ETF or concerned about the stability of the ETF, and they're regulated, so there's very little concerns I would have. But again, if you fit in psychological group number one, you would not buy an ETF because you wouldn't trust. You would consider that a paper investment in gold and not a physical investment, and you would not feel comfortable holding an ETF. For people that have a comfort level in trading in the equity market and holding bonds and trading through their broker, the most efficient way for small investors to get into the gold market without the fluctuation of mining shares would be to buy a gold ETF.
Well, that's interesting to know that if we're a small investor and we're not fussed about owning the physical product, buying an ETF could be a good way to start for small investors. Do you have a crystal ball, Peter? What products will be available in the future to diversify into?
Yeah, there are. I mean, every day there's a sort of a little twist. I mean, right now you have a variety of options investing in precious metals. I mean, from a stock market perspective, you can buy gold mining shares. You can invest in mutual funds that either hold a portion or all of their position in gold. You can buy an ETF. You can buy physical bars and coins, again, either delivered to you or stored. And some dealers offer trading accounts. We're going to be launching at Kitco, hopefully, certainly by the first quarter, but hopefully by mid-February, a blockchain platform for clients that want to trade gold, and where the gold is held by the Royal Canadian Mint as the custodian for the transaction. So people will be able to log in on their accounts and trade gold back and forth on blockchain technology. So that'll be something new coming out. And every day there's like a little sort of a, you know, sort of a tweak to the system. Some dealers were almost ready to launch are going to be allowing the transaction for gold in Bitcoin. Either you can buy or sell against Bitcoin. So that allows the millennials that have cryptocurrencies, if they want to get involved in the gold market, they'll have a relatively easy vehicle to be able to buy and sell Bitcoin through the gold market. So there's always little enhancements, but generally the, you know, the products that I listed when I started to answer this question are basically the primary product, and except for the ETFs, have been the products that have been in the market since the 70s when the gold market started trading freely in the United States.
As gold and precious metals are physical products, do we need to consider having them insured? Does it require special insurance cover?
Well, again, you don't need to insure your precious metals if you store them with the dealer because the storage fee covers the insurance. Again, it's personal choice. If you were a client of Kitco's and you bought, I don't know, 20 ounces of gold, and you got 20 gold kangaroos delivered to your home, you've got basically sitting in your home a $26,000 U.S. exposure. That is generally not covered under general homeowners insurance. You would have to get separate insurance for that. Along the lines of in North America, we have to get separate insurance for jewelry. You would have to get separate insurance, or you leave it uninsured. But bear in mind, if you ever get robbed and somebody finds your gold, you're not. It's going to be difficult for you to claim that back anywhere. So having it insured is an option. But again, it's an option of the person that wants to take delivery at home and decides that that risk needs to be insured. So they call their insurance company.
When buying precious metals, gold, for example, how do we know we are buying the best quality?
Again, that's a matter of doing your due diligence on the dealer. Kitco's been around since 79. We offer a variety of gold products that are directly sourced from the manufacturer. So if you were to buy, for example, maple leafs from us, they would be sourced by the Royal Canadian Mint. If you were to buy U.S. Eagles, they would be coming from the U.S. Mint. If you were buying Australian Roos, they'd be coming from the Perth Mint. And these coins are direct from manufacturer. We call them mint first. So you have an absolute guarantee that these coins have never been circulated. If you decide to go a less expensive route and buy the circulated coins that are in the market, you know, be they kangaroos, maple leafs, or eagles, you need to rely on the integrity of the dealer that they have verified the coins after they bought them from a third party, and they're good quality coins to be resold in the market. Those are called circulated product. And again, it comes down to the reputation of the dealer that stands behind the product that they sell.
If investors are looking at hedging their bets, so to speak, they may still remember the global financial crisis when the government in America propped up the banks at great cost, but then afterwards there was a banking crisis in Cyprus and they ended up, the government took a different approach and instead of bailing out, they bailed in and raided depositors' funds to help that crisis. So having investments outside of the banks is becoming more appealing.
Right. If you believe that, then you fall into category number one, in which case you are not going to be comfortable holding an ETF, nor will you be comfortable having your metals stored with the dealer because, you know, the dealer might just, I don't know, give it to the government if the government asked. I mean, I don't see that happening, but assuming that's possible. So you would fall in category one. You would want to buy physical gold, and now you have two options. Do you want to take the physical gold in your home, or secondly, do you want to hold your physical gold in another country? Unfortunately, by holding it in another country, you will have to hold it with a dealer in an allocated account. It'll be under your name and totally off the balance sheet of the dealer, but still it's not in your possession.
All right. Well,
or I guess you could buy gold and get on a plane and fly to wherever, Switzerland, and open a bank safety deposit box and then put your gold bars in there. I guess that would also be a third option.
We're spoiled for choice these days. Your company, Kitco, are international. Where are your offices located? how easy is it to contact Kitco and open an account?
Absolutely. No, we have clients that span the world. I mean, we have a physical Hong Kong office, a New York office, and a Montreal office.
How easy is it for listeners to make contact with you or your company representatives?
If they just go to kitco.com, they'll have a variety of menu options. One would be to open an account. The other option is there's a customer service line. They could certainly send in any questions or queries. If there's anything specific they need a representative to speak to them about, the representative will call them and answer any questions. It's a relatively easy process to open an account. There is some due diligence required and some information required, but in today's world, that's just part of the compliance regime. It's a know your client rule. But again, the process of opening an account is relatively simple. And doing a transaction, again, is relatively simple. It's just a matter of the client determining exactly what they're looking for. Are they looking for product that they can have delivered to their home? Are they looking for metal to be stored for them outside of the country? So there's a number of options, and all of those options are on our store as to the various product offerings that we offer. And, you know, one thing that makes Kitco unique, and I'm not here to promote Kitco and say, you know, we're the best company in the world, but I can tell you, having been in the industry since 1973, what I find absolutely unique about Kitco is the Kitco.com website. It offers, on average, anywhere between 15 and 30 commentaries a day. And there is an absolute Chinese wall between our Kitco media team that handles Kitco.com and our operations team. So clients have the ability of going in and reading a variety of authors on a daily basis that come up with their ideas as to where they think the price should go. And you would think, because we're a metals dealer, they're all positive and gold is going higher, but that's absolutely not true. You'll find that 30 to 50%, sometimes more of the actual articles are negative and suggest that the gold price might go lower before it goes higher. But that allows the client to go in and at least start to educate themselves as to what the gold market is all about. And then they can go to the store, they can see the variety of products and the variety of options that they have for those products, and then make an informed decision.
Well, that sounds like a very useful website with those resources available. In Australia, we have our retirement investments put away in a tax vehicle we call superannuation. And by law, we're required to have a valuation of all of our portfolio at the end of the financial year. So is a valuation service offered by your company?
It's extremely simple, though. All you need to do is look at the gold price on December 31st and multiply it by the number of ounces, and then you'll know your value. If you buy the metal, you'll have a transaction indicating what you paid for the metal. And then if you've got to make a declaration as to the value of that metal at the end of the year, you just go on to any site of any dealer that's offering precious metals and you'll see a live gold price. And then you can just take that price, minus it from what you paid for your metal, and then you'll know whether you have an intrinsic loss or profit on your position.
Thank you for being on the show today. You've been a wealth of information. We have been listening to Peter Hug from Kitco Precious Metals. He is based in Canada. Thank you, Peter. It's been really, really interesting.
And it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.